Atlanta, we are in first place, and we're owning the NFC South. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
It is a Victory Monday. Of course, this hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Mike Bell, it looked like you had a terrific time down in Tampa. I know you were there Friday, Saturday before Sunday's game. And I certainly want to get your insight into what you saw down there. But this was a fun game, man. And listen, back and forth on Friday, thanks to everybody that stopped by at State Farm Arena. Chris and I were going back and forth about how this was going to play out. And I was pretty confident that we were going to win the game. What I did know, Mike, is this thing was going to come down to the last few seconds and Baker Mayfield at our own 33-yard line with a chance to potentially win the game is something that I did not envision.
Yeah, the safety, and luckily it was not a touchdown for the Bucs, but the safety with Algier, that was a big turning point. And then look, yeah, did the Falcons get a little conservative? Yeah, they did. But you can understand that. I don't blame Coach Ra. I get what was going on. You were just trying to kick. Hey, who's going to make that 45-yarder? Oops. So that kind of changed everything, Carl. And then, yeah, they go right down the field. We didn't know at the time at the stadium about the state trooper that got, like, rolled over in the end zone. But, I mean, all hell was breaking loose there. But, yeah, it was one of those crazy games where you just felt, as a Falcon fan, man, we have no pass rush. This is just where it's at. We can talk about it. We can dance around the subject. We've talked to Coach Ra about it. We'll talk about it again on Wednesday up at Falcons headquarters. They've got to do something. You got to make a trade. You've got to bring somebody else in here, Carl, because you realize it, real quick, guys, 50 passing attempts, 50 for Baker Mayfield and not one sack. That's like defies the law of averages of the NFL, doesn't it?
It does. The crazy thing is, remember, I've been saying this for the last few weeks, turnovers are the difference. You had three. And so when you talk about taking turnovers and turning them into points, Mike, I'm not telling you it makes up for sacks. I'm with you on this because it hasn't come back to bite us yet, but it will. There's going to be a game between now and the end of the season, or maybe two or three games before the end of the season, where we don't get enough pressure, and Mike, that particular game comes back to haunt us. But here's the deal. We've won 4 or 5. We're 4-0 in the division. We've got a 2-game lead now over these guys, and we don't see them again. And guys, here's the reason why we are in this predicament. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Our quarterback, he's better than they are. He's better than Baker Mayfield.
I was like, man, this dude, he's legit.
He's been that way the last two times we've seen him. He's outplayed Baker in these two games. Mike, Derek Carr is injured. He's not better than Kirk Cousins. And certainly what Carolina is throwing out there right now is not better. We're in this predicament because he was so damn proficient yesterday. 276 yards, 4 touchdowns, 4 different guys. Kyle Pitts had 2, Darnell Mooney, Bijan. This is why we went out and got this guy.
And how about the fact he's scrambling? I can't tell you. I thought I was going to have a heart attack watching Kirk Cousins pick him up and put him down. And then he had 4th and 1, so he's got to do the sneak. So dare I say, Carl, that Achilles is 100% healed up. That was unbelievable. Then Kirk goes on and says, yeah, I probably want to be doing more of that. No! No, no, no. Don't do that unless you really, really have to. And there's nobody within like 20 feet of you.
But can we be honest, though? Nobody expected it.
The entire stadium. I can tell you this. Guys, I'm 4 rows behind the Falcons bench. The defensive players all kind of bowed up like, oh, hell no, as it happened. Everybody was going bananas. Unbelievable. And also, I was telling Carl and I was texting during the weekend, is the interplay between Kirk and the offensive line. They do have that first great scoring drive, and then they go and they have, I think it's like a 3-and-out. He's talking to the offensive line. He's like a coach. He's working the entire sideline during the game.
404-726-0929. So what are we? No, I mean, what are we at this point in the season? Guys, we're about to head into the halfway point. What do you know about this team? What do you feel about this team? Hit us up. Text us at 404-726-0929. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes and the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow this radio station at 929 The Game as we will continue to talk about this game. And now here come the Cowboys. Anybody watch that game last night?
Yeah. I'll give them credit, though, because it looked like San Francisco was going to run away with it, and then Dallas came back.
It did. And here's the deal. We got all week to chop this up. But bottom line is they got problems. And I'm going to tell you right now, not only are we going to be favored at home, Mike, but we should win this game with the way the Cowboys are operating right now. Now, I know they've been without Micah Parsons, but let's keep rolling. There's no reason, because the big bad Cowboys are coming in, that we should be fearing anything. The good news is you've handled your business in this division, as Coach had talked about. And he's been saying all offseason, we got to outrun the South. And it sounds corny, but it's not. You got to win your division, man. It's the quickest way to get to the playoffs. And, Mike, you get a home game.
Guys, to have this early in the season and be 4-0 in your division, own the tiebreaker over your biggest, arguably closest opponent. And, again, we'll see what the Bucks maybe try to do with the trade deadline to beat things up. But, yeah, like Baker Mayfield, he gave you a couple of picks. That's on him. But those were picks. That was an amazing steal the ball from the receiver by Jesse Bates. And that's arguably the, I would say right now, I think that's A.J. Terrell's best game as a Falcon. On Sunday. That was, again, I'm sitting behind the bench. I sent you guys the video. The reaction, it's almost like the players hear this talk about he's one of the highest paid corners, and he's not a ball hawk. The entire defense is around him. I got Mike Bell ATL, and they're going bananas. You'd have thought he just literally won the Super Bowl the way they reacted.
Well, I think, Mike, everybody wants to see their teammates win, right? And when I say that, win at what you do. If your job is to intercept balls, I want to see you win. If your job is to get the quarterback, I want to see you win. Now, while we're talking about winning, let's talk about the elephant in the room. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Then I'm going to let you hear Raheem Morris as we talk about this victory on a Victory Monday. Matthew Judon, is he what we thought we were getting? Now, Mike, he's older, but I got to tell you, this quick twitch thing that coaches talk about and the get off that we've talked about, meaning the ball's hood, hood, and the ball's hiked, and the guy's, and I'm off the ball. All of that stuff we talked about, I'm not seeing.
No, and we interviewed Matthew Judon a couple weeks back, and like I love his intensity, but he's just not getting there. He's just not getting there. Hell, his best play was when he got stuck because of the defensive assignment in coverage on a wide receiver, and actually Baker Mayfield overthrows the guy, but he was not having an impact, Carl, on the line of scrimmage. He just doesn't get there.
All right, so with that said, and again, it doesn't mean, I've said this, he doesn't have impact because guys are like, is he a bust? Well, no, because again, he's getting tipped balls, he's around the quarterback, he's even getting quarterback hits, but they're not sacks. So what's the assessment now? Because, Mike, this was supposed to be a guy that was going to be a difference maker. He's a really good player right now. This is my evaluation, guys, 8 weeks in. Mike, he's a good player. He's not killing it.
No.
He's certainly not a guy that you go, man, we got to know what's going on with Judon. I just feel like the get-off and the things that I thought I would see are just not there.
Nope, and at age 32, this is why there was a contract impasse, at least where he thought he's going to be getting paid with New England, and New England moves him off the roster. And I don't want to say it because I still believe that there's something there can happen in the next couple of games, but he needs somebody to, I don't know, he does get double-teamed from time to time, but also he gets handled. I mean, if I'm honest, he just gets handled, and he gets kind of lost, and he gets sort of swallowed up by some of the tackles, at least what I saw the last couple of weeks. He's got 1.5 sacks. We brought this guy in here to be a guy that's going to be a force multiplier, make everybody else better. The only thing I can say is, and I don't know if this is going to, and we'll try to find out more up at Flower Branch on Wednesday, Jimmy Lake calling the right defense? Is this the best? Or Jimmy Lake look at the forces that he's got to work with and say, this is the best I can do, and this is all I can do? Or can he scheme something to get some pressure on the quarterback?
We're going to have to do something. And here's the other part of this. I'm challenging Matthew Judon today. I need to see you show up. We challenged Kyle Pitts. Guess what? He showed up. He's doing what we expect Kyle Pitts to do at this point. Matthew Judon, it's time for you to step up. It's time for you to get to the quarterback, make some pressure, make some things happen in the backfield, be that beast we saw you be in New England, and step up. It's not like we need new dudes. I just need you to play better. And right now, Mike, that's not happening with all the goodness that we're talking about. And there was a lot of goodness right now with the Falcons. I wouldn't want to be in a better position than we're in. But there are certain dudes. If we're going to take this to the next level,
right,
there are certain dudes that got to step up.
You've got to get some guys involved. Now, again, because we don't have Braylon Trice with the injury, you can't talk about it. He's not on the field, so it don't matter. But, I mean, Brandon Dorlis and some of these other guys, I mean, get everybody, the young guys out there, it's just not there. Ebikadi's not getting there. Ebikadi was getting there last year, but he's not getting there in Jimmy Lake's defense. So what the hell's the difference, right?
It's something we're going to continue to examine, but flat out, man, like, listen, I'm happy for Jesse. Jesse's just, he's the best, period. AJ, Mike said it. If that was his best game, let's build on it, okay? Because this is what we need you to be. We need you to be a ball hawk. He also brought the wood yesterday.
He's hitting people.
Yeah, he laid some people out. But as far as the win and how it feels right now, it feels damn good to be a Falcon fan. 404-726-0929, that is the number. Let me hear Raheem Morris talk about how it feels for him to be in this position. All right.
But, I mean, you said it, though. Kirk Cousins, baby, clean game. Baker Mayfield couldn't say the same thing. I thought the game plan from Zach Robinson was perfect. I thought everything you wanted to see, Carl, you got in this one. Everybody got involved. Darnell Mooney. What's up, Darnell?
What's up?
I beat you to it.
Yeah.
But Darnell makes this little move. Whoop, whoop. He gets the corner going one way. That's one of the easiest, most beautiful touchdowns I think Falcon fans have seen, well, since Matt Ryan was QB.
He did make it look easy. There's no doubt about it. We're here because of him, and we got to acknowledge it. We just have to. Think about the two games against Tampa. You needed him to be great in overtime. No problem. I got you, Atlanta. I need you to be great on the road, Kurt. We need to go down here and handle these guys and not give them a shot at this division. No problem, Atlanta. I got you. He is the reason we're in this position. And we wondered, Mike, is he going to be able to carry the team at times? Yesterday, guys, he did. He made all the throws he needed to make. And again, the biggest play of the game wasn't even a throw. It was the 13-yard scramble by Kirk Cousins, again, that nobody said, he's going to run with this thing? He's about to run?
We're all literally hearts in our throats, and then they convert the quarterback sneak.
Fourth down.
I mean, and by the way, it was a timeout there, so the Bucs knew what was coming, I presume. But, yeah, that's just another aspect of his game that was just great to see. Bijan with 13 carries, Tyler with 12. Tyler, of course, he was upset about the fumble. It happens. But, again, we know what he can do. And the receivers, everybody involved. If Kyle Pitts doesn't lollygag those last 3 yards, we'd say it's probably one of Kyle Pitts' best days as a Falcon.
I'll take it, Mike. 2 touches? I'll take it. Mm. But I hear you, man. You got to finish the run, right? Hey, we got plenty more to dive into on this Victory Monday. We're going to hand out some game balls and no balls. We're coming back. We got to hit some headlines because this is a big week. UGA beginning prep for Florida as they get back to work. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I will try to expense that as a marketing opportunity because I'm trying to grow the audience. But anyway, we ran into so many listeners at Raymond James Stadium before and after. Ran into a bunch of guys today at Columbia, which is this great Cuban place inside the airport in Tampa. And we're just talking about everything you and I just talked about. Got to get the pass rush. Man, we're excited on offense. But, you know, when we get into the playoffs or we go deeper in this season, you're going to have to be able to get some pressure, real pressure on the quarterback.
No doubt. Falcons in a really good spot. And we'll go around the NFL here coming up in 3 o'clock and talk more about what's going on. Connor Riley's going to join us as well to talk about the Dogs in Florida. A lot more in store here on the show. But generally speaking, I said, how do you feel? What do you know? And it's interesting to see these tweets, we don't call it X, coming in, and certainly the text messages about our Falcons in regards to what you feel and how you think we are. I think most people, Mike, when I'm looking at some of this stuff, and again, I want to read all of them, but we can't, right? But I'm looking at some of this, and everybody's like, look, when we play at our best, this is a dangerous team.
We are, you know, the thing is, and I was watching, and we talked about the Mooney touchdown and Bijan and Pitts. These are the kind of teams that you always, as a Falcon fan, felt, I wish we had one of those, right? And we did have one in 16 and 17, right? We had those kind of athletes. We had Julio Jones in his prime. You know, we had Sanu. We had Roddy White back in the day.
That's right.
You know, but it's fun to have these guys again because when everything's clicking, and by the way, that offensive line, for all the things we're saying about pass rush, all the Bucs fans are saying the exact same thing. They couldn't generate any pass rush. The offensive line did a hell of a job. We did see Chris Lindstrom go out. He was able to come back in. That was on Coach Rod to keep him off because he wanted to make sure he was going to be okay. But that offensive line did a hell of a job. But when we do it, all those things click. We got one of the most dynamic offenses, Carl, in the NFL, period.
Yeah, and that's what's exciting. And offense still wins, by the way. It just does. I mean, we can talk about all these great defenses. And again, I get back to the Eagles and all those sacks. They didn't win it. You got to be able to go down and score. Here's what gives me confidence in any playoff game that we might see this year, that our guy in that spot is going to be able to drive the field and go down and give you a touchdown. Like, I haven't had that confidence in a very long time. And to know, all right, if we need it, he can go do it. The thing about the scramble in the fourth yard, you know, the quarterback sneak is we took time off the clock. That was a huge drive, even though we came up scoreless. Remember, Koo misses the 46-yard field goal, which should have been the ball game. Let's be honest. It makes it an 8-point game at that point, and it's almost impossible for them to get it back because now you have to declare it onside and all that stuff. Bottom line, though, Mike, is for me, that's what gives me the confidence that at our best, okay, we can play with anybody offensively, and we'll be able late in games to go score. That's what good teams do. And when you start talking about these good teams, yesterday there were a bunch of upsets and all kind of stuff that happened in the NFL we'll cover. But that's what the better teams are able to do late in ball games.
And after that touchdown, after the safety, where you felt like, wow, this game is slipping away, to Carl's point, that was 5 minutes and 51 seconds. So nearly 6 minutes of clock you ran off.
Needed it.
And thanks with Kirk obviously making that conversion. Then on the fourth down on the sneak. So, yeah, cool. I mean, there was a bit of a breeze kicking, but he's made that kick before. He's made kicks outdoors. So, hopefully, I'm not going to start killing Koo or anything. But, yeah, that was a clutch effort. And, look, yes, they went to more of a prevent posture in the second half, and then Baker started getting more stuff out there. I didn't like the defense in the second half, but I understand that's what teams kind of do on a big lead.
Let's hear from Kirk Cousins talking about that final drive. Again, Baker had an opportunity, but the defense does its job. That ball, by the way, was caught out of bounds. I know people are wondering, was it really? Mm-hmm. It was caught out of bounds, the Hail Mary we're talking about, unlike the Washington Commanders situation, which we'll talk about. Let's hear from our quarterback, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, it certainly the main focus is like breaking the huddle. You know, let's try to bleed some clock between plays. But once you snap the ball, you got to play football and get what you can. And ran the football well. You know, had a few passes mixed in there. And Charlie got the drive started with a great flat, catching the flat, and then turned up field. So that was a big drive.
It was. Mm. I mean, and again, to play clean, Mike, as you said, the efficiency of Cousins. To not make the mistakes and to put a lot of pressure on him to deliver with having to throw the football. You know, again, Baker still threw for 330, guys. With all the conversation we had about not having those star wide receivers out there, he still threw for 330 and three touchdowns. But the two picks did come back to hurt him.
And these were picks where, you know, Baker Mayfield, we saw Baker in American Social after the game. Him and his wife, and I believe it was one of his parents. They had the baby with him. And that's a great bar right in that Inner Harbor area. But anyway, yeah, I said Liam Cohen, their offensive coordinator. Bucky Irving was gashing the Falcons. He never went back to it. It's like Todd Monken with Derrick Henry yesterday. You know, I mean, get him the rock. But anyway, that's a them problem. But yeah, I thought Baker, he made, you know, those are throws where we said it earlier. Jesse Bates is a one-man turnover machine. He's one of the best. He's arguably the best free agent the Falcons have signed since I've been here, since 98, Carl, because he just makes plays. Simmons was out yesterday. We didn't know that at the stadium at the time, so Richie Grant got some reps. But what a catch. And the A.J. Terrell, as we said, that was one of the most athletic plays from a corner you're ever going to see.
Let me hear Jesse Bates, Big O. Headlines, by the way, brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live well. We're going to talk dogs coming up, and the World Series as well continues. But obviously, it's a Falcon Monday. You'll hear from Coach and Kyle Pitts in about 9 minutes from now. This is Jesse Bates talking about, first of all, his punch out. I want you to hear this. Guys, if you didn't see the replay, because, Mike, I know you were in the stadium, it might have just looked like a loose ball. He was so technical into how he approached it. He's about to make the tackle, and you see him literally load up and punch the ball out. And you're just thinking, dude, this guy is so analytical. Like, he is not just thinking about, I got to get this guy to the ground. I got to get the ball loose. He talked about it.
Yeah, we knew, you know, coming in, I was a little bit surprised off the tone calls. They wanted the ball early. And, you know, I was like, we got to set the tone early for this whole game. And, you know, the guys up front did a good job of tackling the guy, and I just came in with a punch. And the ball came out. Next thing you know, the ball's in my hand, and you know, that's just what happens when you take the attempt to just keep on punching the ball, make it a habit. Good things happen when you can punch the ball out like that.
He had two of those plays, man. Two of the best in the business, Antoine Winfield and Jesse Bates. I'll give the advantage to Jesse Bates. Winfield almost had that moment on the Kyle Pitts not fumble call up the goal line.
Well, remember, he did the same damn thing to Desmond Ridder last year. Right when we thought Ridder was going to score, and he was able to knock that ball out. But it's just such a heady play, man. Like, it's one thing to be in the moment and just play your position. It's a whole other thing to be like, oh, I'm about to make this ball go away. We're going to get another turnover and go score. He's just ahead of it. Here's Bates talking about his interception, Mike. So he had two punch outs. He recovered one, three turnovers. Obviously the AJ interception, and then he talked about his pick.
Flea flicker. You know, I was a down safety on that one, and. Being in zone as a curl flat player, usually they jet motion the guy over and they run duo. But it was a flea flicker, and thank God Mike Hughes did a good job of playing that post and coming off on the wheel as well. But I knew the ball was coming. I knew that play was made to go to the wheel and just turn my head and make a heck of a play on the ball. It's just like baseball. Just go track the ball and go grab it out the air.
What'd you see? What'd you guys see in
there? We saw him steal it. So take it away. I mean, it just, it, again, the athleticism. I mean, both, like I said, both him and AJ in the air. I mean, the vertical, just the athleticism blew us away.
How many Falcon fans around you, by the way?
We had where we were, great season of 50 yard line. We had about like 50 all right there, right behind the Falcon bench.
Okay.
Going bananas. And then up in the 300 level, there were tons. And in the corners up by the pirate ship, you know, there's tons of Falcon fans. There was a really good Falcon crowd. That was the creamsicle game. They were wearing the old throwbacks with the Buccaneer Bruce. They were playing old 70s and 80s music, Carl. It was a really cool weekend to be down there at Raymond James. But those fans, man, there was some jive talking going on because it was, at one point, it looked like it was over. Then as soon as we have the safety, uh-oh, they're coming back in it. And then they think they got a chance because, you know, Baker's made these kind of moments happen before. But, man, yeah, there was almost fisticuffs, but everybody kept it clean. They kept
good.
It clean.
Well, that's good. I mean, you guys lost the time to go home. 404-726-0929. Mike, I thought the fake punt.
Dumb. Yeah, and I think they got to own that. I already talked about him kind of forgetting about Bucky Irving, the other offensive coordinator. I just thought, you know, the Bucks and Baker on those picks, you know, we're talking about the flea flicker. He's got time. He's got time. He's making those throws. So two tremendous plays, but Baker had, you know, had ample time to go see the field and decide where he's going with it.
Yeah, it was in the third quarter. I first of all, give the Falcons props, and we'll give our special teams a game ball coming up because the recognition of a fake. You always hear coaches, watch the fake. But then you're like, okay, they're going to punt this thing. And in that moment, I said, oh, these guys are desperate. Right. Because we're scoring. They can't stop us. And coming out in the third quarter, they're like, uh-oh. So you go up two scores because of the fake punt, because that turned into the Bijan Robinson six-yard touchdown. By the way, how sweet was that Bijan move where he just stops at the goal line? That was sweet.
Hey, and we had a touchdown. It was nullified by a penalty on Ray Ray, which I thought was going to be a crucial moment. Then you know what? But that isn't that like the indication of a great team? That, you know, you have one of those. We've talked about it. How many times we have the giant banana peel for the Falcons? There's a touchdown. Uh-oh, it's called back on holding. Screw it. We're never going to be able to convert. And they're able to go get that drive and still get six and get pay dirt.
It's true, Mike. Or we don't, you know, we get a field goal instead of a touchdown and it ends up coming to bite us.
So it started with Bijan being nullified and it ends with Bijan in the end zone.
I was so happy, too, because I didn't see the Ray Ray hold or push or whatever the hell it was. And, you know, again, penalties. They didn't really hurt us as much. That one could have, but we ended up scoring. We ran for 129 yards yesterday with Bijan and Algier and company, and, of course, the Cousins' 13-yard scramble, which helped. It was a big one. Hey, also, real quick, as we're talking about this game, guys, all the things we've talked about, and this is how you know we're getting better. Remember how we talked about third down about 3 weeks ago? How big third down was, and we weren't converting? We were 50% yesterday. We were 2-for-2 on fourth down. These are areas where we say, we got to get better. And coach was even like, look, we got to get better on third down. We're converting third downs. And by the way, did you have any reservation? Don't lie. When Raheem Morris on that first fourth down decided to go for it, right, and we hit Pitts for the touchdown, don't lie. Were you like, just punt it?
No, I just, you know, because it's funny because we had some Tampa Bay fans behind us said, we're going for this. No, you're not. You're going to draw us off sides. No. I said, my coach is going for this. And he did.
He did. It was a great call. And it's a great play by Pitts. Hey, we got a lot more to get to. As we said, dogs, we'll talk about that as they get ready for Florida, the cocktail party. But when we come back, we'll hear from Coach Raheem Morris and Kyle Pitts. On tight end day yesterday, he balled out. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Odyssey.com. Down there in Tampa, and, you know, it's funny, because if you go back just a few weeks, matter of fact, go back to week two, Saints had scored like 75 points in two games, and everybody's like, uh-oh, Saints, man, this is going to be a problem.
Like they're the new news in the South, right? They finally figured it out. They've got, who is it? It's a Kubiak's
kid. Clint Kubiak, and they've completely fallen apart. Then you look at what's been going on with the Bucks. Man, they're scoring like crazy. Baker's playing great, and he is. He's still playing pretty damn good, considering he was without his two wide receivers out there. But that's not the same team. It's just not. And now you look at Carolina, where, you know, Bryce started, Andy Dalton. It doesn't matter, guys. There is no way we should screw this up. We should not only win this division, we should be hosting a home playoff game. And it's just that simple. At this point, where we are right now, and I didn't think, Michael, I'd be saying this 8 weeks into the season, this is where we are. There's no way we should screw this up. So I feel really good about where this is going. And again, the schedule, you know, it's funny because we thought the first five games are going to be like the test of all tests.
Right.
you know, Denver's playing really good. All of a sudden, the Denver game doesn't look easy now, right?
No, because first off, you know, with the Broncos, that's a defense that gets after. And it's all, I know we're actually pretty high here in Atlanta based on other cities around the NFL. I mean, we're not close to being mile high like Denver, but it's always funky to play at altitude, right? Remember one year, was it the 16th season where Vic had those three sacks when they were and whooped him?
That's right.
But that's few and far between. That's going to be tough. The Commanders have got mojo, guys. Some years, Commanders just have it. They got to cook, and we'll talk about the story of the day coming up in the Blitz. But that's another team we got to face in D.C.
No doubt about it. Let's hear from our coach after the game with Dave Archer. This is Raheem Morris after the Falcons picked up the dub.
We're always good to get one in division. When you go on the road, even double better.
It's awesome, man. Coming down here to Tampa, these guys putting together, fighting all the way through, finding a way to get that win is absolutely outstanding, what we love to do.
Tell me about the response of the team, because Tampa moving the ball pretty well early on. You guys didn't touch the ball hardly at all in the first half, yet you look up and the game's even.
This is a good offense, and it don't matter who's out there for them. Obviously, they went out there and proved that. Liam Cohen does an excellent job. Those guys play the right way. They play the right way. I love how they play. And they did a nice job in the first half. We got to find ways to get off the field, and we did at the end, finally.
62 yards rushing for them in the first quarter, and you guys shut the door on that in the last three quarters. What did you and Jimmy get put together?
Well, you got to bow up and do something. And, you know, I won't take the credit for those guys on defense. They do a great job. We get there. We're able to get some X's and O's stuff cleaned up. Our players go out there and tackle and run around and hit, and that's what you got to do.
One of the reasons you went and got this veteran quarterback is his ability to get through reads, process is what you talked about, process. He processed today.
We went and got him for that zone replay run today when he scrambled up the middle. Did a great job. He got a sneak today. I mean, I'm fired up, man, what he's able to do. He's a processor. He's smart. He knows situational ball. He keeps us in the right frame of mind, and that's what he's supposed to do.
All right, last thing for you. What does it mean about your team? You take over 60-52 left in the game, and you bleed the clock all the way down inside a minute before you get the ball back.
You know, that's your play caller. That's your quarterback. That's the execution. Those guys out there fighting continuously, that's what you got to be able to go do.
Congratulations on the win.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, it felt good. And again, that was a big deal because if you give them the ball back with almost, you know, 6 minutes on the clock, five and a half even, it's a different deal, Mike, than when they got it back with under a minute or so to play. They still were able to get down to our 33-yard line and give themselves a shot. But that's a different game if you hand the ball back to him that early.
We lost all that momentum, and we lost momentum when Koo misses the field goal. That's the other part of that. But certainly, you know, they were starting to feel things. And like we were softening up our coverage. I mean, it looked like, from where I was sitting, it was more of a prevent type posture. I heard Randy McMichael talking about it earlier and Andy Randy. But yeah, that's a big moment. But that's how you salt away a game. You know, the combination of high percentage and running the football, the offensive line did a hell of a job. As far as an aesthetic, it's a fun offense, as we said last break, to watch. There's so many things this team can do well. And now that Kyle Pitts, think about the things you and I were saying after week one. Man, when's Kyle Pitts going to get involved? Yeah, again, one lazy or boneheaded play, which, again, he owned it up after the game. But, man, Kyle Pitts, all the elements are now coming together, and Zach Robinson knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and Pitts, here's the other thing. You know, when we were talking about, oh, well, there's guys defending him. Do you see how he pushed the corner yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Safety, get off me. Stiff arm, get off me. Like, he's too big for that. That's the stuff I've been talking about. Like, Kyle can make those plays, and he was running. Once he got out in front, you're not catching him.
Right.
So this is what we need every week. Now, again, I don't expect two touchdowns, but, Mike, those big bonus plays, man, those explosive plays. Let's hear from Kyle Pitts because he had a really good game, guys. Again, touchdowns of 36 and 49 yards for Kyle Pitts. Yes, there were some questions as to whether he crossed the goal line. Didn't matter. They didn't call it. And so as soon as they were like, the call on the field stands, I was like, touchdown! I didn't give a damn.
By the way, I said in the stadium, I texted you. I'm like, we were freaking out. And again, that's I told you, somebody I had the radio call, I guess Gene Deckerhoff, they don't have a pylon cam. There's no pylon cam. So I don't know how the number two team with Greg Olsen, did somebody forget to pack it when they left Los Angeles for Tampa?
It's crazy. Hey, here's Kyle Pitts. Congratulations. He showed up big yesterday right after the game with Dave Archer.
Hey, Kyle Pitts with me now, and Kyle, I mean, these divisional games, what is it about these divisional games that always come down to the wire like this?
I mean, it's just, it seems like every time we, you know, like you say, in division, come down to the wire, it's nail-biting, you know, just intensity is just a step higher, so it's pretty fun to play in.
Man, you came out aggressive, had two monster plays, of course, the two touchdowns. Tell me about getting in the end zone and making some of those athletic plays we know you're capable of doing.
That was just fun, you know, just the ball was just fine to me, and, you know, God just, you know, allowed it to happen today.
All right,
the
tell
tight
me,
end guys. The tight end guys.
All right, tell me about the end of the second touchdown. Mm. I know you thought you were coasted in. What'd you learn from that one?
Never. Just run through the end zone, and you know, ball security is paramount.
All right, tell me about the play, though. You make a great – you run that deep over route. Kirk puts the ball on you. And then the athleticism that we all know Kyle Pitts had came to life as you stiff-armed the guy to get to the end zone.
Yeah, just seeing him and you know, try to use my offhand and, you know, just run to the end zone.
All right, what's – the team takes over the ball with 6:52 left in the game. You bleed almost the entire clock out. What's that tell you about your group?
Just resilient, just playing as one, executing as one, and just, you know, had the mindset about winning.
Kyle Pitts, monster day, 2 touchdown grabs. Thanks, both.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, did you know it was National Tight End Day?
I did.
Did they come to play?
The gods helped us. The gods helped us today.
I love it. National Tight End here, 2 touchdowns for this guy. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Two touchdowns for Kyle Pitts, 2 touchdowns for Cade Otton. Speaking of tight ends, and we had a hard time getting a body on him for the Tampa Bay, but hey, we got the win.
I just hope, again, like all this stuff that we're talking about with this offense, you can continue to build on it. Are you guys willing to say, and this is not me just patting myself on the back, I don't think anybody expected it, Darnell Mooney is a plus to this offense. He's just not a guy. He has been a big plus. Drake yesterday, Mike, I know Kirk tried to get him the ball a couple of different times. Yeah. You know, he's still trying to go to him in situations, even in double teams. I mean, he's trying to fit it in there. But Drake and Darnell and Kyle, this can be something that you can just kind of hang your hat on. And then again, we talk about Bijan out of the backfield. There's just a lot to be positive about. The good news is, and I think you said this about the ankle. Was it an ankle injury? No, it was the Lindstrom missing time right in the fourth quarter. He says he'll be back. Chris is looking at us, our producer.
Yeah.
He says he's going to be fine for Sunday.
Yeah, again, we were so close. You hear Lindstrom basically go blank as he's coming off the field. And for a while there, it looked pretty bad. They had him in the blue tent there for a while, but he was able to walk around. He had his helmet in his hand. And then Coach Rob basically said, we're going to keep it easy, let it, the swelling go down and not make it any worse. Kirk Cousins, man, 785 yards in the air against the Bucs in these two games.
Owned them.
8 touchdowns against Tampa Bay, which has just been great. And now the Cowboys, again, we have plenty of time later in the week. We're just enjoying this on a Falcon Victory Monday. But just this is it's the kind of team, and it's one of the things that came up running in all the Falcon fans like today at the airport. Everybody's just smiling and happy and giddy. But it's the kind of team that we've always wanted to root for here, and we so infrequently get it. You know, the kind of all the cool stuff we've been talking about the first hour of the show.
I agree. And it's fun. You know, listen, last week wasn't. And by the way, Seattle got smashed.
What does that tell you, huh?
By the Bills.
Isn't that crazy?
At home on a rainy day in Seattle. Okay. So this is the NFL. This is the craziness, Mike, sometimes that happens where it's a beautiful day in the A and they come in here and beat the hell out of us and we're like, what just happened? And then we go into the big divisional game where the opponent knows what you want to do, we know what they want to do, right, and it comes down to who's going to make plays and we get it done. So I just say all that to say, yes, I'm with you. I think this team is not only rootable, but this team has a chance to be dangerous.
There's some amazing games that are coming up. I mean, I can't imagine what the reaction and response is going to be when Kirk Cousins returns to Minnesota, Carl, because he'll be back there. That's the game that comes up on, I believe that's the same weekend as the SEC Championship, December 8th. So, but that's
well,
the weekend.
You know Brian Flores is not going to have any mercy.
No.
He's going to be blitzing the hell out of Kirk.
And we already talked about playing Denver. We play the Chargers. You know, so you got Bosa. There's a lot. And the Giants, despite all the things they can't do offensively, are still really good at getting after the quarterback, all on our schedule.
Yeah, defensively. And again, that's all maneuverable, but this division thing is where it starts, man. Right. And if you get past the Saints here, you got one division game left, and it's the last game of the season.
Right, but you got an advantage. 4-0, and you get the tiebreakers.
Mike, that game might not even mean anything. The division will be wrapped up. You could literally, depending on what the situation and circumstances are for the playoffs, you could rest. I'm being serious. Like, going into that last game against Carolina, it may not mean anything because you've already wrapped the division up. We have to still handle the Saints, but, man, we're in a great position.
But we're playing some offenses that are, you know, they're getting after it right now. We talk about the Vikings, certainly Sam Darnold's career resurgence. Jaden Daniels is the new news right now in the National Football League. He's that guy. So now the question is, how it's got to be a priority. That's the other question I got asked today. All the Falcon fans we saw at the airport is Terry going to find us some edge rush? And is it going to be a middle of the road guy? You know, we don't really have all the draft picks. Remember, we covered that on Friday or Thursday, I should say. But how and when? And are we going to have somebody in by the time we're there Wednesday? Are we going to have somebody else in the building? Because we need it.
Well, yeah, you know, November 5th, you know what that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
No. It's trade deadline. It's the NFL trade deadline.
It's the election and it's that.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that. Yeah. I'm talking about the trade deadline. But yes, I hope But as you've said, and we've talked about, is it a big splash move, which, again, sometimes can be overrated. Don't get me wrong. But again, if you're talking about that, you're talking about going all in and potentially, you know, hauling in a Max Crosby, who, by the way, the Raiders said over the weekend they're not trading him. The owner put out an email to Adam Schefter saying we're not trading him. But I'm saying that kind of move, or is it, Mike, a lower-tier move that a guy can come in here and, again, be a rotational guy and help you and maybe improve your pass rush? Listen, guys, Root got injured yesterday. I don't even know the extent of that. His ankle.
Oh, that looked awful. By the way, it was bad. He couldn't put any weight on his foot, on the lower extremity as he was getting carried off the field. It looked bad.
Yeah, so he is, I'm sure, listed as day-to-day, but we'll find out more. No Justin Simmons. He had a hammy, so we need to get him back. I mean, like, this Troy Anderson, Mike, It's been this thing with Troy Anderson, right? Up, down. He's got a knee. I mean, we've talked about it. But the linebackers as a whole has been pretty good. But, you know, I thought Caden Ellis got injured yesterday.
He got banged up too. Yeah. Look, I will say this. It was a divisional game. And maybe it doesn't mean as much to the fans. Pads were popping.
Woo.
You could hear it where we were sitting. But, hey, man, we'll be hearing from the coach, by the way, 6 o'clock. Coach Raheem Morris on with Arch, right?
Yes, sir. Coming up, NFL Blitz. It just proves you don't have to guarantee $230 million for your quarterback. We'll talk about it next.